You're happy that you're saved, say amen. Amen. I'm thankful to be here this evening, and we sure do appreciate you all allowing us to come and be with you. And the Prophet's Chamber, that was just wonderful getting to go over there and get some rest today, and then getting some food this afternoon. Just thank you so much for everything, and for the kind love offering. We appreciate it very much. Mark chapter 10, turn your Bibles over there, Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 17. I'll go ahead and start reading. But the Bible says here, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for being so good to us, Lord, in spite of who we are, in spite of all that we've done. Lord, your grace is sufficient, Lord, and your goodness, Lord, is far greater than we could have ever imagined. Father, I ask that you'd please, Lord, that you'd help us now to receive the good wisdom and instruction and understanding from your word tonight. Lord, would you help us, Lord, to make Christ the issue. Lord, help us to make you the issue. And, Lord, that you might get all the glory and honor and praise. It's through your holy name. Lord, how we love you. We thank you for loving us, for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. And God, help me preach now. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking at this passage of Scripture, I want to look at these two verses here. He says there in verse number 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven." He says, "And come, take up the cross, and follow me." You know, he made that statement to many preachers throughout history. He has asked that question. Would you deny yourself? Would you take up your cross? And would you follow me? All of the disciples had to answer that question. I believe that every Christian has to answer that question as well. That when the Lord asks us to take up the cross and follow him, I believe that is a proper and right and decent thing we ought to do. I believe it was Paul that said, "I die daily," that every single day he had to take up his cross. But specifically here, the Lord says, "Take up the cross," that take up my cross and follow me. He says, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession." I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And then we're gonna jump back and forth here for just a second, and then we'll jump into the message. Won't be long tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, very familiar passage of Scripture. If you would look there with me, you got to lay some groundwork here. But 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 6, you all know the story. The story of David when he's anointed by Samuel. And verse number 6 in chapter 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." You know, Israel, they had chosen their king. His name was Saul. We all know the story, that he was the people's choice, that he stood head and shoulders above every man. And God gave the people what they wanted. You know, he looked right, and he looked like the right part. He looked like the right man, the right person for the job. But Saul had some issues internally, that he had an unconquered spirit. He had an unconquered anger problem and many different things. Sit down, son. And he had some things that needed to be dealt with inwardly, but he rose to power, and the people got their way, that they got their choice. I mean, you know, they had God as their king, but they wanted to be like everybody else, and so they got Saul. Well, it came to a point where Saul made some bad decisions, and we all know the story. He made some horrible decisions, and the Lord refused him. And so the Lord, he tells the prophet Samuel, he says, "Go down to the house of Jesse And I'll let you know what you're going to do once you get there. And, you know, sometimes the will of God is just getting to the place God wants you to be. We're not going to know everything or how it's going to work out or what it's going to be like. Well, he gets there. He gets to Jesse's house in verse 6 there. Look there. And he says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He said, man, look at that boy there. He looks kingly. I mean, I'm not sure. He was probably a carbon copy of Saul. I mean, probably stood head and shoulders above all of his other brethren, above all of his brothers, maybe the strongest looking of all of them, I'm sure. But just the most kingly looking, obviously, because that was, Samuel's view of things as he looked at the sons of Jesse. Verse number 7, that famous verse, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That famous passage of Scripture there. Well, we get to chapter 17 and verse 24. Look there with me. David, here in verse 24, the Bible says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, speaking of Goliath, right? The Bible says, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? He has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, and the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Then we see this conversation between Eliab and David. David has been anointed already by God. His brothers knew it. David knew it. Samuel knew it. We get to verse 27. The Bible says, and the people answered him after the manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, when he had heard, spake unto the men. The Bible says that Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. This famous statement from David. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and they spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. We get to verse 31 there. And David, he tells the story of how that he kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and he took the lamb out of the flock. He talks about how that he went out after him and caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And the servant, he says that in verse 36 there, he says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Verse 42 there. Look there with me. We're going to get to the message in a second. Verse 42. The Bible says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Verse number 45. The Bible says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth. Verse number 46 there at the end, he says, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Can I say, as we've read through both of these stories here in Mark 10, but then also the story, you know, that famous story of David and Goliath there. First off, we see David's anointing there. The Lord comes to Samuel, and he says, Samuel, he said, I've refused Saul, and since I refused him, I'm going to choose another man, you're not going to know who it is exactly, but you just get going to Jesse's house, and I'll let you know. He gets to Jesse's house, and the Lord makes that famous statement, don't look on his outward appearance, I refuse Saul. I don't care how tall he is, I don't care how good looking he is, how kingly he looks, I've refused him as God. And man, that's a pretty rough thing to be refused by God. And so Saul is done. And Samuel, he says, you know, the Lord says, don't look on his outward appearance, for the Lord looketh on the heart. Well, I believe as we look at this story of David and Goliath, as we call it, that we see the heart of David. We see the heart of David, the reason that God chose David to be anointed over Eliab. Eliab is frustrated, I believe, already with David. And David comes there with cheese and crackers to his brothers. He's obeying his father, Jesse, that sent him to the battle to go serve his brothers and to serve the soldiers there that were fighting the Philistines. And so we get here, and Eliab's anger is kindled against David. And he, you know, him and his brother's conversation sounds a lot like Goliath's and David's conversation. That Eliab is accusing David of disobeying, and Eliab's accusing David of not fulfilling his duties of taking care of the sheep. He makes a statement, where are those sheep, David? And he said, David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And so he is giving out accusation to David. And David makes the famous statement, is there not a cause? I think it's interesting, though, as we look prior in the story, verse 24 through 26 there, the people, the men of Israel, when David comes to him, okay, the Bible says that when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. Speaking of the soldiers there in Israel, that they saw the man, they saw Goliath, and they were fearful, right? We all know the story. Well, the Bible says, and the men of Israel said, they're talking to David, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be, look here with me, verse number 25 there, midways through, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, who, Goliath, the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. You say, what was happening here? Well, I believe what was happening is the men of Israel and Eliab and his two other brothers that were there besides David, I believe that what was happening here and the problem that Israel had in this fight against the Philistines is that they were making Goliath the issue. They were making their fear the issue. The Bible says here that they were making, he says, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, Goliath, right? They're talking about the reward that they'll get for it. The king will enrich him. They were making the king's riches the issue. They made the king's daughter the issue. They made your father's house being free in Israel, being tax-free there in Israel. And David spake to the men, verse 26. Look what David says. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Notice that the punctuation there, it's a question mark. He said, so what's going to happen? Are you serious? This is what it's going to take for somebody to rise up and to kill this joker who's defying the armies of the living God? What shall happen to him? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, David, he did not make Goliath the issue. David did not make fear the issue. David did not make himself the issue. But David made the name of God the issue. Can I say that I believe that the problem in a lot of homes today, that a lot of marital issues could be dealt with if we would stop making ourselves the issue. See, far too often in marriages, what happens is that we, like churches, we start looking internally and we start bickering and fighting. Can I say, you look at Brother Jake long enough, you're going to find lots of flaws. I mean, you're going to find a bald head. You're going to find a fat belly. You're going to find a lot of things wrong with me. Okay? But let me tell you something. The purpose is not to make Brother Jake the issue. And the whole point is that you are not the issue. And I'm not the issue. And fear's not the issue. And our problems are not the issue. But Christ ought to be the issue in the church. Eliab's cause was what he could get out of it. The king's daughter and the king's riches. and the king's approval. But David's cause was in 1 Samuel 17:35. He says, and he went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And about the sheep here, y'all remember the story when he's telling King Saul about how God provided with the bear and the lion. He says, and I went out after him, speaking of the bear, the lion there, and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I believe that the name of God was what David was concerned about. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel was David's response to the giant. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. It was God that was the issue with David. Even in David's sin, David's great sin with Bathsheba, I believe, and I believe I can prove that as we'll look here. You don't need to turn there for time's sake, but David's issue was the name of God, that it wasn't even his sin. In 2 Samuel 12:13, the Bible says, and David said unto Nathan, remember Nathan, the good friend of David, Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Verse 14, though, the Bible says, how be it? Nathan said, how be it? Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The issue was that because of David's sin, what I believe bothered David so much about his sin was not just that the sword would never leave his house, but it was the fact that he gave the enemies of God great occasion to blaspheme and to talk about and to run their mouth about his God. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I believe in Psalm 42:1, the heartbeat of David, I believe, was God. The heartbeat of David was his God. In Psalm 42:1, the Bible says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You say, what was David's issue? David's issue was a heart issue. Listen, he was in love with his Savior. You can't read the Psalms and tell me that he didn't. When you read the book of Psalms, you can really say that David was not intimate with God, that David did not have an intimate, close walk with the Lord. Listen, I believe David did, but I believe what David did is what we ought to do. Is that, listen, that we ought not to make self the issue, but we ought to make him the issue. Listen, it's not about the king's daughter. It's not about the riches. It's not about the good benefits of a Christian life, but it's about the name of the Lord, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. That there's a God here in Red Level. That there's a God in East Bruton. That there's a God in this world today, and not just the God of this world, the devil, but there is the God of heaven who sits up high and he looks down low and he knows right where we're at. Eliab, I believe that he was jealous for himself. I believe that Saul was jealous for himself. I believe David was jealous for the Lord. The king's riches are not the issue. The daughter is not the issue. The Eliab is not the issue. Saul is not the issue. David, I believe that if he was to write on a piece of paper, David, what is the issue in your life? He would write, Jesus, 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 Jesus would be his issue. I looked at a man by the name of Phinehas in Numbers 25. And Numbers 25, go ahead and turn over there with me if you would. Numbers chapter 25, verse 6 there. Numbers chapter 25 and verse 6. How many of y'all know the story of Phinehas? Pretty neat character in Scripture. Not written a whole lot about. But Numbers 25 and 6, verse 6, the Bible says, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in all the sight of the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. You say, why were they weeping? Because there was judgment, because of the sin of the people of God. In verse 7 there, the Bible says, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into his tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Look what God has to say. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. the zeal of Phinehas here we see in 25:10. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore, say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God." You say, what did Phinehas make the issue? Listen, I don't believe that the issue for Phinehas was even the sin. I believe that the issue for Phinehas was God. The issue for God said he was zealous after me. He was zealous for his God. The issue that Phinehas made, it was not even necessarily about the sin. Listen, we ought to stop exalting sin so much. The Lord says, be simple to that which is concerning evil. That we ought not to make that the issue. David, he says that the sin with Bathsheba was not the issue. The issue is that I've given the enemies of God great occasion to blaspheme my God. David, I believe that as he looked at Eliab and he looked at his two other brothers there and he looked at the soldiers there as they were saying, "Well, David, don't you know what's going to happen to the man that killeth this big old melon head of a man? Don't you know what's going to happen?" "Well, what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get the king's daughter and you'll get the king's riches and you'll get tax-free exemption status and you'll get all these different things if you just go take care of this giant." The man that does, not saying you're going to, David, but whoever does. And David says, "What? Is that really the reason for you doing right? Is that really the reason?" And I truly believe that the motivation for a lot of Christianity today is wrong. That the motivation is what we get out of Christianity rather than the name of our God. That the reason that we want to do right and want our children to do right is for the benefits of a good moral Christian life. When the truth of the matter is, a good moral Christian life. Listen, what do they say? That withholding yourself from sin does not always equate to power. You know, a lot of people, it seems as though that they feel, a lot of preachers even, it seems as though that they feel that just not sinning, that equates to much power with God. Can I say, I truly believe that's vitally important. The Lord says, "Be holy as I am holy." I believe in holy living. I believe in godly living. But can I say that godly living is more than just not doing certain things? Godly living is doing right when nobody else wants to do right. It's called character. Godly living is making the cause not you and not me and not our issues, but the issue ought to be Christ. You know, how many church issues could be dealt with if we'd stop making the sin the issue, if we would stop making people the issue, if we'd stop making their mistakes the issue, if we would stop making their choices the issue, and if we got back to making Christ the issue. You say, "Well, what happens when I make Christ the issue?" You say, "Well, Brother Jake, if you knew the sin that I've done, if you knew the sin that they've done to me, then Brother Jake, you know I couldn't forgive him." Can I say, the reason that we forgive according to Scripture, we forgive because he forgave us. According to Scripture. See, when you make Christ the issue, when you exalt the Word of God, when you make this the issue and not yourself, okay, the issue of what we believe, right? That's a big issue in churches. But the truth of the matter is, it's what we believe is not based on how we feel or what we think or what we've heard. It's based on what is thus saith the Lord. Let God be true in every man a liar, right? Starting with me, starting with you. Let God be true in every man a liar. So if we're to make Christ the issue, if we're to make the Bible the issue rather than our thoughts or what we think or what we feel, that changes things, right? Because then we have what's called authority. See, that's the reason I believe that a lot of people, they shy away from Bible preaching. That they don't like good sound Bible doctrine, cardinal doctrine. They don't like good preaching, like hard preaching anymore. And I don't mean hard preaching. Listen, it's not Brother Jake's job to be mean or harsh or, you know, hateful in the pulpit. It's Brother Jake's job to preach the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Even before you ever get to the place of sin, the intent to sin, the intent to not walk by faith, God says that his word has the ability to get to that place in your life and in their life that, Brother Jake, as angry as I could get, as thunderous as I could get, as mean as I could get, I can't do it. But God can. See, so that's why in the pulpit we ought to make Christ the issue. We ought to make God the issue. We ought to make the Bible the issue. Listen, in our homes, we ought to make Christ the issue. Listen, in our marriages, we ought to make Christ the issue. What, is there not a cause? Well, you know, if me and my wife get along, then maybe we get, you know, a little gold star at the end of 50 years or, you know, some kind of, you know, we've made it. No, listen, it should be more than that. I don't want to give the enemy occasion to blaspheme my God. There's more than just me and my wife. That there's my children, but there's also the name of our Father in heaven. That there's his name that will be blasphemed. There's his name that will be run down. I think it's interesting in 1 Kings 19. You don't have to turn there for time's sake either. But Elijah, that great prophet, the great man of God, he's just slain the prophets of the grove, the prophets of Baal. I mean, he's wore out. He's tired. 1 Kings 19:9, the Bible says, and he came thither unto the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek after my life to take it away. You understand that, listen, Elijah here, he was doing a good thing. He had just done a great thing. I mean, he had just preserved really, he had slain 400 prophets of Baal and prophets of the grove. I mean, he had just done a great thing. I mean, that joker was bad. I mean, Elijah, man, he's an awesome character in Scripture. But old Elijah, you know, he got to a place in his life. He says, Lord, I've been very jealous for you. I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. And then he goes looking at the people, remember? And he says that the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars, and they've slain the prophets with the sword. I only am left, and they seek after my life to take it away. And then God comes to him and says, now, Elijah, you know, you're not the only one still in this thing. There's over 7,000 some people of God that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Can I say that we ought to stop making our stand even the issue? My stance and my stand is not the issue. What ought to be the issue is the book. Ought to be the issue. The issue is not how I feel or what I think or what I wear or what I want or how much money I have or how much money I don't have or the wreck that my marriage is or the wreck that my ministry is or the success that my ministry is or the failures of others or the hurts of others or the sin of others. No, that ought not to be the issue. We ought to not make ourselves the issue. What ought to be the issue of New Hope Independent Baptist Church, what ought to be the issue is Christ. That in all things he might have the preeminence. That in our lives, that in our thinking, that in our thoughts, that in our Bible reading, that in our Bible time. I'm not just doing that because it's something that we have to do, but what ought to be the issue is the Lord. And how important that is. With every head bowed and every eye closed, our Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that when we could not come to where you are, Lord, you came to us. Lord, you have saved me. You've redeemed me, Lord. You've justified me, Lord, and you are sanctifying me. Lord, we are sanctified through your truth. That word, O Lord, is truth. And, Lord, you've given us a word, all the power of heaven, Lord, in a book. Lord, the only book that you ever wrote. Father, you've empowered us, Lord, with the Spirit of God. Lord, you have given him, Lord, to us, Lord, to comfort us. Lord, you indwell the belief. God, you've given us every capability in the world to do right and to make a difference. But, Father, I truly believe the reason that we don't is because we are selfish. Lord, the reason that I don't, Lord, I'm not going to speak for all these people, but, God, I'm going to speak for myself. Lord, I'm a selfish individual. God, how we need to stop making ourselves the issue. how we need to stop making sin the issue. Lord, I believe on hard preaching, and I believe you believe in that, Lord. I believe that your only begotten Son, Lord, that he went into a temple, Lord, and started flipping tables over and braided a bull whip and, Lord, beating people out of your house because they had made it a den of thieves. Lord, I know that you put a high premium on preaching, Lord, and hard preaching. Lord, that you endorsed men like John the Baptist. Lord, you endorsed preaching like Elijah's preaching and Moses' preaching and those prophets that will come back, Lord, and breathe fire. And Lord, I know that you endorse their preaching, Lord. You like that kind, Lord, the old-fashioned kind, Lord. I believe that wholeheartedly. But God, would you help us, Lord, even in our service to the King, Lord, even in our service to you, to our God, Lord, help us not to make our service the issue. Help us, Lord, not to make our success or our failure or our sin the issue. But, Lord, I believe that you are the issue. Lord, you are the reason of heaven for heaven, the reason heaven exists, that by you all things consist, that, God, it's all about you. Father, would you help us to lift you up with our lives, Lord, to stop making ourselves. Lord, it's not about what we get. It's not about Eliab's anger because he didn't get anointed. Lord, it's not about David because he did get anointed. Lord, it was about the God of Israel. Father, would you help us to learn these things? Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us in Christ's name. Amen.